Hey, you guys, before we start the show, I need two quick favors from you. One, I need you to rate, subscribe, and review the show. Like, write a review. This allows other people just like you to find the show. The other thing I need you to do is go on over to TrillNBA.com and sign up for our awesome tips and tricks that we will be giving out for free over the course of this quarter. There also might be some prizes for you to try to win. So go on over to TrillNBA.com, rate, subscribe, review the podcast. Also, check out the feature from VoyageDallas.com about me and the TrillNBA show. It was an awesome article and I truly appreciate the love. Now let's start the show. Welcome to the TrillNBA show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the trillest NBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, everybody. It's already the middle of April. Wow. What? Oh my God. I want to take this episode to talk with you about managing your career in this time of world history in the making. We have at the helm of our country a person, at least it appears that it's a person. That's questionable. But this person is counter to the values the U.S. has strived to live in and become. And every day we read and we hear about more and more shenanigans from this person who holds the office of the President of the United States. We'll just not say his name. We'll just call him 45. I don't know about y'all, but I'm having to stop and filter all the information thrown at me because I find myself emotionally drained and unfocused on, as my grandmother used to say, what I need to be doing to get into the kingdom. That's what I need to be focused on. I have finally given into the fact that much of my energy and efforts for the rest of my life will be focused on solving one problem. And it's a problem that I just have found myself extremely passionate about. And that is the non-existence of Black woman representation in corporate leadership. I don't know why this drives me crazy, but if you listen to this show, last season started with corporate America hates Black women. And I know that's a bold statement, but right now, I mean, it's a lot, y'all. It's a whole lot. And some people may say, okay, why is this a problem? Like, we got all this Black girl magic. You know, we're having lots of new firsts everywhere. But y'all, in corporate, this is a problem. And it is a problem because the powers that be want us to spend our money on their products. But they don't want to pay us, and they don't want to hire us, and they don't want to promote us, and they don't want us to take their jobs, quote unquote. They don't understand us, but they are happy to use, abuse, and take our magic from us to make them money. But they don't want us in the CEO spot. And it's just not just. And at this point, as humans, we are in so many interdependent relationships with companies that unwinding that dependence that we have on each other in this economy would leave everyone hurt, just the ass out. Like, I'm not gonna go and like boycott Walmart. There's one up the street from my house. It's convenient. I got shit to do. So What do I do to still have this life I've created on an individual level, but still recognize that we have injustices that are happening right before our eyes? Now, you know, we really have to work to make just what is currently unjust in corporate America. So I'm focused, man, focused. This is my mission now. Now, it may change in the future, because, you know, a lady has a right to change her mind. But this is what I know is true for today. And this is where my heart is definitely leading me. So with that said, how should you operate now to ensure you succeed on your career journey? That's what we're here to talk about today. That is the million-dollar question. And while I don't have all the answers, there are a few key things that I have recognized as very important as we work to grow and climb to the C-suite right now in 45's America. God help us. Point one, in this new era of 45, people have decided to put down kindness labeled as political correctness and pick up the harshest and most vitriol versions of human being that they can manifest in themselves. And I don't know why. I just don't know why. And this currently holds true, especially so true in the workplace more than ever. And understand, workplace bullying is a real thing. Oh my God, you guys, there are organizations and websites dedicated to workplace bullying. I'm going to put links in the sources and the episode notes. So please, if you feel that you are being bullied at work, please check out the resources. But let's talk about what is workplace bullying first. So Wikipedia says, workplace bullying is a persistent pattern of mistreatment from others in the workplace that causes either physical or emotional harm. It can include such tactics as verbal, nonverbal, psychological, physical abuse, and humiliation. Now that physical abuse, y'all. Yeah.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Okay. This type of workplace aggression is particularly difficult because, unlike the typical school bully, workplace bullies often operate within the established rules and policies of their organization and their society. So basically, these mofos, they know what they're doing, they're torturing you on purpose, and then they fly under the radar. Now, I know, as a Black woman, there are many of us who have been victims to bullying in the workplace. And most of the times, we just suffer in silence. Man, I remember before I went to business school, I was working for a big retail company. And my boss, oh God, I'll never forget this woman. She was on my interview panel when I interviewed for the job. But she was the only one that did not want to hire me. But she got outvoted. And so when I first started, I was reporting to a delightful lady who was willing to, you know, help me with the little learning curves I had and get me on my way, because this was my first time working for a mass merchant retailer. And so there was a reorg. Don't you hate reorgs? And this woman who did not want to hire me ended up being my boss. And you guys, it was so bad. Shout out to my best friend, Krista Lynn Green. Yes, I'm saying your whole government name. But I know you don't really listen to my podcast, so it's all good. So if anybody knows Krista, tell her I talked about her in this podcast episode. But I cried on the phone every day, you guys, every day. I would cry in the morning. I would cry when I'd get home. It was horrible. And she just did the pettiest things to me. Like, for instance, one day I had a bag of potato chips on my desk and we were sitting in pods, in merchandising pods. So it'd be buyers and merchandisers in these pods. Y'all, I had a bag of chips open on my desk and she came into our pod. She stopped because my desk was right at the entrance of the pod, picked up my chips, looked at me like she dared me to say something to her, put her nasty, dirty hand in my chips, grabbed her some, threw my bag of chips back down on my desk, put one in her mouth and start crunching on it in my face with this look of like, and I dare you to say something to me. It was like so bad. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, come on, Felicia. But you don't understand. When you come from a culture where respect is everything, where people start fights for getting their toe stepped on, this is just the ultimate form of disrespect because you are taking my food and you are putting your dirty, nasty hand in my bag of chips. And so she started talking or whatever, and I threw the bag of chips in the trash and I made sure that I did it before she left so she could see I threw them in the trash.
Oh, she tried it!
But there was nothing I could say. Because normally if it was anybody else, like say, even if it was one of my friends, I'd be like, yo, you can have some, but just, you know, get you a napkin or whatever. It wasn't about the sharing of the chips. I mean, there were a 99-cent bag of potato chips. Like, come on. But God, dog, like just the level of disrespect. Because if I had done that to her, there would have been a problem. And that's the key to workplace bullying. It's you're in power, you mistreat me over and over and over again. You say things to me. Like I remember one time this same boss was like, well, let's work to get you confident and competent in your role. Like, did this bitch just call me incompetent? Oh, so. Y'all, I'm sorry if this is causing anybody triggers and flashbacks and PTSD. I'm sorry. I'm triggering myself. But that smirk on her face, ugh. It's the worst feeling, y'all. And I wish I had had the courage to take up for myself. And I know a lot of you guys are feeling like this right now, but you don't have to sit there and suffer in silence like I did. And you don't have to cry to your best friend every day after work. You have to stand up for yourself. And what that means is you have to self-advocate. And the key to self-advocating is a couple of things. Number one, in real time and in a diplomatic way, you ask the person, you know, what they mean or why they did something or why they said something rude or did something off-putting or offensive. So seek for understanding, you know, giving a cautious benefit of the doubt. And then try to hear them out. So for example, in that moment, what I should have done, I should have said, hey, I was about to say this hoe's name, sorry. Hey, such and such. You know, I have no problem sharing my chips, but in the future, I would appreciate if you would ask me before you stick your hand in my chips, as well as I have some napkins here, and if you'd like some, I'd be glad to pour some in the napkin and give that to you in the future. And I'd appreciate that courtesy. Thanks. And then smile. You know, you got a Claire Huxtable these things. But that's what I should have done right then and there, instead of just sit there silent and not take up for myself. Because every time I did not take up for myself, I allowed her to keep doing these little microaggressions against me. and breaking my spirit every day, which is what she was trying to do. So, you explain what that boundary is, and you know, you also want to use a little tinge of Black mama fear in there. You know, like I said, remember Claire Huxtable. But you also have to stay fact-based, right? Don't talk about your feelings or how you feel. Now, let's say you have done that. Like, you're like, no, I told this bitch, like, stop doing these things. This is my boundary. If the behavior continues, you have to document the behavior. And how you document, you write the day, the time, the facts. That's it. Not, this bitch sat up here and told me. No, backspace. Start over. So today, such and such came to my desk and said, quote, blah, 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 rude thing, blah, blah. Quote, I responded by however you responded. And that was the end of that situation. But that's it. Not how you felt about it. I felt like she was being rude to me and she did that shit on purpose. Like, no, leave that part out. Just the facts. The facts will speak for themselves. Now, when you have three examples of behavior problems, set up a meeting with the person first. I know it may seem like I'm confrontational. I think a lot of people think, oh, Felicia, she ain't got no problem with confrontation. Listen to her podcast. No, you guys. I can talk mad shit on this podcast, but I'm going to tell you right now, in the workplace, I struggle with the idea of I'm going to perpetuate the angry Black woman stereotype. I have struggled with this my whole career. I'm begging you, if you struggle with this, stop struggling with it. Take up for yourself. They're going to think what they think about us anyway. So let them think you're angry, whatever. You know you're not angry. You know you just want to come in and do your job. And that's okay. But you cannot allow somebody to continuously mistreat you. You have to put an end to it. And so once you've documented the behavior, you set up time to meet with the person and you talk with them, you confront them in a very diplomatic and professional way and say, you know, I want to discuss the following incidents with you. I want to get your take on it. I want to understand where you're coming from, if I'm misperceiving the situation and how we can move forward from here. I also want to let you know how this makes me feel. And I want to discuss how I would like for us to interact with each other in the future. So you do that, two things are going to happen. One, they're going to be nasty about it. Make sure you're recording this conversation if you're in a state that you can record. And two, they might just be like, oh, yeah, passive aggressive with it and act like they're good and they're not. And then they try to continue to sabotage you. If that's the case, their behavior does not change after you have tried to remedy the situation yourself. Now you need to start escalating. The first place you escalate is to your actual manager, the person who you report into directly, the person who does your performance reviews. That's your first line of defense. And then if your manager act a fool, then you just keep going up. Do not go to HR. If you have an anonymous hotline to report people, don't do that either. Unless you know and you understand your corporate culture, that actually will help you. Because most times that's bullshit too. So don't waste your time on that stuff. Just keep going through the higher ups. And then when they pull HR in, you know it's time for you to lawyer up. Especially when your boss can't affect change. Actually, I take that back. When you go to your boss and your boss can't remedy the behavior continues, and now your boss is aware of it, and then either nothing happens or they go higher up, at that point, when your boss can't stop it, get an attorney. Be ready. Because most likely the organization knows about this person's behavioral problems. I'm sure you're not the first one if they're acting like this. And I guarantee you, for whatever reason, and it is so counterintuitive, but this company will protect that asshole before they do the right thing. It is so rare for companies to do the right thing. And I don't know why. I just don't know why. But this is the world we live in. And a lot of times, you know, HR will get involved and they'll be like, oh, we did an investigation. It just seems like a personality conflict. Watch out for that, because that's actually a sign that that person is bullying you. But the organization is covering up for their bad behavior. And if that's happening, again, lawyer up, protect yourself, stand up for yourself, fight for yourself now more than ever. Now, point two, this past week, I decided that I hated myself and I watched the news. Yes, only people who just really don't like themselves will inflict the news on themselves. Watching the news is the direct opposite of self-care these days. But it feels like a necessary evil. So I was like, let me see what's going on. Now, the craziest thing happened that I was just like, what? What is going on? So there was a segment about the House Financial Services Committee hearing with the CEOs from the 7 largest banks in the U.S. Y'all, first of all, can we shout out Auntie Maxine? Love her. She is actually the committee chair for the House Financial Services Committee. And when I tell you, what you're not going to do is disrespect her time. When she say 5 minutes, she mean 5 minutes. Okay. Love her. So I was watching and they showed a clip of Representative Al Green, not to be confused with the singer Al Green. Representative Al Green, he is the congressional representative for Texas's 9th district in the city of Houston, Texas. What's up, H-Town? So Representative Al Green asked the panel about their succession plans for their roles as CEO. Take a listen.
The gentleman from Texas, Mr. Green, who's also the chair for the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, is recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I especially thank you for your courage in standing up for consumers. As I look at the panel, and I'm grateful for your attendance, the eye would perceive that the 7 of you have something in common. You appear to be white men. I may be mistaken. If one among you happens to be something other than a white male, would you kindly extend a hand into the air? Kindly let the record reflect that there are no hands in the air and that the panel is made up of white men. This is not a pejorative. You've all sermonized to a certain extent about diversity. If you believe that your likely successor will be a woman or a person of color, would you kindly extend a hand into the air? Let the record reflect. I know it's difficult to go on the record sometimes, but the record has to be made. All white men, and none of you, not one, appears to believe that your successor will be a female or a person of color. Is your bank likely to have a female or person of color within the next decade? Kindly extend a hand into the air. 2, 3, 4, 5. Five, without giving the commentary that I would dearly like to give, I'll move on.
Yeah, so basically, all white men, no real succession plans for anybody that doesn't look like them. So, I mean, the only response I have to it is,
fuck this.
What more can I say?
Yeah, so why are we trying to climb this fucking ladder? Oh, corporate America, sons of bitches. Oh, God, Jesus, help me. Keep me near the cross. So why are we even playing this game? Although these are banks and, you know, of course, banking is full of white men, but so are all the other big players in the Fortune 500. They're all in the same boat. They're all talking a good game about diversity, inclusion, and la, 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 la. But at the end of the day, the succession plan is set right now. Y'all. But you know, I can't get mad at them because as a human being, it's like self-preservation. Especially when you believe that you have ownership of power and you don't know what it looks like to operate from the actual truth that we're all human beings and we all have value and merit and we should be looked at according to just that. All the money and influence in the world won't stop what is actually happening. And that is change. And that's why, although I want to say, fuck this shit, like, I'm out. We can't do that. You know, look around. We've got to relish in this wave of change that's happening. Like, more and more, I see Black women wearing their natural hair to work and like wearing braids and twist outs and just beautiful hair and dressing with color and flair in the office, being badasses, like no holds barred and succeeding. So it's time for us to stop dimming our light. And this transition, it's going to be uncomfortable for many. But enough is enough, you guys. This is the time. And either they're going to get on board or they're going to get left. And there's nothing they can really do about it but sit up in front of House committees and look stupid. So definitely check the clip out. It will be posted in this episode's page. It's quite hilarious. But I wanted to play that because as discouraging as that may feel right now, you gotta understand, even though we have a hard road ahead of us, we cannot give up. We can never give up. We must not give up on our ambition and our goals. We can't afford to. And if you want to be the CEO one day, you can. Despite their stupid succession plans right now, you really can do this, sis. So I want you to keep fighting because it's not just about you. It's about all of us. Somebody's got to be first. Somebody's got to be second, third, fourth, fifth. Until we have so much representation that we don't even think about keeping count. But all that starts right now, today, with you in your role right now. So you cannot give up. And the last thing that you need now more than ever is to believe in yourself and do not seek outside validation. For good or bad, don't get caught up in any hype, especially if it's bad. So for example, a lot of us have been culturalized to believe that, you know, we need positive feedback and reinforcement at work to know we're doing a good job. But the truth of it is, you could be doing a stellar, spectacular job. And because a lot of the work in these jobs are so subjective, one person can come along and be like, oh, Felicia, you're doing amazing. Oh, Felicia, this deck is great. Oh, Felicia, I love your ideas. Oh, Felicia, that was a good job. You did great on that project. And another person could come along and say, you know, yeah, but this, and then find all the things wrong. So does that mean I did a good job or not? I have to step back and say, hey, there's always going to be room for improvement, but that doesn't mean that I didn't do a good job. And it damn sure doesn't mean that I'm not an amazing human being. Your job does not define you as a human being. You define you. Do not give anybody that power. And if you have, take it back. You define who you want to be in this world. And you have every right to take up that space in this world. That's why you came here. That's why you were born. That's why you've gone through every single thing you've gone through in your life, is for you to recognize in this moment that you do belong, that you are here for a reason. And you're here to live out that purpose, whatever it may be. And nobody has the right to put you down, to push you down, to make you squelch yourself. Don't allow it to happen. Get your boundaries up. Stick up for yourself. Believe in yourself. That's what we're going into with this week. We believe in ourselves. And no matter what the obstacles may come, remember, we are the answered prayers of all of our ancestors. And we are so blessed no matter what we're going through right now. We are extremely fortunate people. And we can make it better. We can make it different. We can help each other. And we can love each other. So whatever you do this week, pick up the phone, encourage your friends, stay in the fight. Don't give up on you. Don't give up on us. No matter what you see on the news or what's going on in the world, we can do this one day at a time. Change is gonna come. So until next week, remember, I'm always here if you need help or advice about a specific situation. Go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation, especially if you're being bullied. Hit me up. Let's talk about it. Do not suffer in silence. In addition, you can always email me. I love getting you guys' emails. They make my heart feel so good. So email me at ask@trillmba.com. I can answer your question, or if I can't, I can connect you to the right person. So again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me, or ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. Until next week, y'all, keep it true. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production, executive produced by Felicia Ann Rose Anuha. Music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.